Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com and presented by Bet365. I am Jason Logan. He's former odds maker turned pro gambler Todd Furman. And this is the final 600 seconds of the NFL season. Super Bowl 60 is here, and we have packed the next 10 minutes with a ton of big game gambling goodness. We're going to talk keys to victory for the Seahawks and the Patriots, as well as some corresponding bets, if you like either side. We're going to talk anytime touchdown picks for each team. And as always, we're going to run that two-minute drill, close it out with our best bets for Super Bowl 60. Todd, here we are. End of the road, pal. One more game.
It's amazing. You blink and you're already at Super Bowl Sunday. J-Lo, yeah. It just feels like we were talking week one, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, all the optimism about your beloved Dallas Cowboys and how this was going to be the year that Dak Prescott was immortalized amongst the pantheon of NFL greats. But alas, it's Patriots, it's Seahawks, as improbable as it gets, knowing what kind of odds were available on both these teams to win the Lombardi Trophy, not only coming into the season, but after the Patriots lost to the lowly Raiders way back in week one.
Mm-hmm. I must have missed the memo on the Cowboys' optimism, because I did not feel that way. Yeah, this is crazy. Before we get into everything Super Bowl 60 and these two teams, I wanted to ask you, because you get an interesting take, because you've been on both sides of the line here. You've been an odds maker in Vegas. You're now a professional sports bettor. Give me your favorite Super Bowl betting memory.
So my favorite betting memory as a fan was way back when the New York Giants played the Buffalo Bills in 1990. I would have been 8 years old. My dad at the time was running a small eatery, you know, Chicago-style hot dog establishment, and we had closed a little bit before the game was going into the second half. And my dad kind of said, you know what, why don't we watch the end of the game here so we don't have to deal with anything back at the home front, call my mom and everything else. And I stood on the table as a Giants fan, hoping that Scott Norwood would send that field goal wide of the goalpost. And I'm just lucky to this day, J-Lo, when I jumped as high as I could, probably about 6 inches, but it felt a lot higher back then, that I didn't land on the floor, no sprained ankle or anything else. But one of my more enjoyable moments as a fan before I started to get as jaded and sports agnostic as I become as a professional bettor. So that one really sticks out, probably more than anything else that happened as a bettor or even an odds maker. Although I do remember, you know, safeties early on in games and the emails that came from casino executives already panicking, you know, five plays into the game that things weren't exactly going to go our way, crying poverty as every odds maker always does.
Yes. Yes, you guys had it so hard. For me, I'm going to say Super Bowl 51, which is obviously a pretty infamous Super Bowl. But we were doing a promo in Vegas that week. We were at the Mirage Sportsbook. Jay Rood was running that book at the time, our buddy Jay Rood. It was one of my favorite books. It's no longer there. But we did a promo. We did a draw. We gave away a $1,000 bankroll. And we had a fantastic young lady who won. She was a Patriots fan. She had $1,000 to spread across the ATS, the total, and some props. And she, of course, took the Patriots. She took the over and took a lot of over on Patriots players. But because it was, you know, it's free money, she also threw things like OT and two-point conversion and defensive touchdown in there. And you know, by halftime it was looking pretty bleak. She actually came up to us and was like, I'm so sorry I wasted your money. And I was like, this is not my money, you take it up with marketing. But we all know what happened in the second half of that game. She walked away a big winner. It was a lot of fun to kind of ride that. You know, we all had bets on the game, but it was fun to watch that, and then also just observe and take in the environment. The air in, the air out of 28-3 in a Vegas sportsbook was just unreal. It was, people were counting their money in Falcons bets. They were counting their money long before halftime even started, and just to see that flip was so much fun. Perfect example of sports betting and how just crazy it can be.
You're coming up on the 10-year anniversary. Have the folks at Covers kept in touch with this young lady to kind of do a where is she now type update and see how that experience with all you degenerates in the Mirage Sportsbook fundamentally changed her life and her outlook on the big game Sunday each and every year?
I will say she would be hard-pressed to find a better Super Bowl experience than that, because not only did we give her the bankroll and she won all that money, but she got, like, the VIP experience. Like, we had her on the Big Betty couches. She had all the food, all the drinks she could ask for. Like, that setup was amazing, and something that definitely I miss with the Mirage no longer there. But, yeah, before we make before we make some new big-game memories, though, a quick reminder to rate and review the Sharp 600 on whatever podcast platform you prefer. And if you're watching us on YouTube, like, subscribe, comment. Let us know what you're betting here, Super Bowl 60. All right, Todd, without further ado, final 600 seconds on the clock. All right, let's talk keys to victories for Super Bowl 60. Todd, let's start Seattle. What do they got to do to win this game?
So for me, J-Lo, I think Seattle's got to get off to a quick start. When we look at this Patriots team, so many questions about their offensive capabilities. Drake May's shoulder, could he throw them back into a football game if they're trying to erase a multi-score deficit? This Seattle defense, one of the best in the league, but the Patriots, no strangers to playing stingy defenses. They've had to go through the Chargers, the Texans, and the Denver Broncos just to get to this particular juncture of the season. And we have a little bit of history on our side as well. When you look at the New England Patriots, they've been historically slow starters in the big game, and we have a long history of them playing on Super Bowl Sunday. So for me, I think the Patriots end up punting on their opening drive, and I'm willing to lay a price tag right around -$1.20. Now, I may have botched the assignment here, thinking that I was going to come with this Seattle Seahawks-centric prop, but I think it's about their defense being able to bottle up New England, forcing the Patriots to turn this into a little bit more of a slog. And if Seattle can score first and get a quick three and out from New England, it'll set them up for success in the big game. So New England punts on their opening drive, a price I'm willing to go up to -$1.45.
All right. And a quick hitter, too. Everyone likes those little quick cashers. For me, it's and this may seem obvious, but just play clean. Don't give the Patriots any hope. And that's turnovers. That's special teams returns. That's defensive touchdowns. That's interceptions from Sam Darnold. New England has some great corners. They've been able to drum up pressure, and Darnold cannot force throws. Not when you have a defense like the Seahawks backing you up. You want to look at what not to do? Go look at CJ Stroud in that divisional game. Kiss. Keep it simple, Sam Darnold. And with that caution in mind, and the fact that Sam Darnold is sneaky fast, just like me, I could see the Seahawks QB opting to take off. Yeah, opting to take off. When the pressure comes, when there's no one open, Darnold's projections between 9 and 12 yards. His total right now, 6.5, -105. So I'm going to take the over on that. I'm going to hope we don't get burned by kneel downs. That early cash out option, if he gets up early, that could be very valuable on this one here. Let's talk Patriots, key to victory.
So when you look at this New England defense, it to me feels like the group that's being completely disrespected coming into Super Bowl Sunday. You dig into the Patriots' full body of work, and it's a stop unit that's really trended up during the postseason. I know they've been aided by two weather games, freezing sideways rain against the Houston Texans, and essentially what I would best describe as a blizzard against the Denver Broncos in the second half. But along those same lines, you look at what the Patriots have done so well. They've really ratcheted up their blitz rate. I mean, they're bringing pressure at more than 40% of the snaps against them compared to a season-long number that sat well below 30%. Sam Darnold has shown a little bit of sensitivity to the blitz. His EPA kind of falls off a bit. And for the Patriots to be successful, they need to make Seattle move the football methodically down the field. We know the Patriots' run defense with Milton Williams, even with it banged up Robert Spillane, has kind of been their strength. Take away Jackson Smith and Jigba, and you're not going to take him away completely, but just don't let him pick up those chunk yardage plays down the field. And whether it's shadow coverage from Christian Gonzalez or a little bit of bracket to roll a safety help over the top, I'll take JSN under his longest reception, sitting in the high 20s, 28 and a half right now. I think JSN is going to have to pick up 7-8 yards a pop, maybe 15 to 20. I just don't think there's a 30-yard reception in his arsenal. JSN under longest catch.
All right. Yeah, and I'm going to kind of echo on what you said here about the Patriots defense, because they have been much better down the stretch. For me, it's make Sam Darnold feel uncomfortable, conjure up some of those ghosts. A clean pocket allowed for him is death for this Patriots team. He is among the better quarterbacks when he is just left alone. But like you mentioned, this New England stop unit has really found its fangs. Since that bye week in week 14, Mike Vrabel has this defense humming, and it starts with that pass rush. Not only is New England blitzing at a much higher rate, like you mentioned, over those past seven games, but it's been excellent at disguising where that pressure is going to come from. You have guys dropping in coverage. You have guys coming out of nowhere. 20 sacks in the last seven games, and a dozen of those have come in the playoffs. Now, Darnold's pass protection has also been pretty shoddy here in the home stretch of the season. He suffered 16 of his 27 total sacks in the regular season in the final six games of the schedule. And he's been sacked five times so far in the postseason. So for me, and I look, there's a couple of different ways you can play this. You can either take the Pats over 2.5 sacks at +110, which is the bet I like here. You can also take Patriots to have more sacks, the most sacks in Super Bowl 60. That one was around like plus 170 at some sports books as well too. So a very, very key moment, key point for them is just getting pressure on Sam Darnold, who, where we do see his stats tend to dwindle. And I believe what his interceptions as well too, 8 of his 14 interceptions have come while under pressure. So that's something we're going to have to see from the Patriots. Time for some touchdown bets for Super Bowl 60. Odds, of course, provided by Bet365. Todd, why don't you get us started here? Who do you like? Give us a touchdown score for both teams.
So we'll look at the New England tight end room, and this is going to be an area where I think Drake May is going to find some success against this Seattle Seahawks defense. We know how strong Seattle is on the outside. And look, New England doesn't have a true perimeter field spacer, game breaker in the form of Mac Hollins, Kayshawn Boutte, and of course Steph Diggs, guys that'll operate underneath and hope that maybe they can hit a home run. But I think Hunter Henry and Austin Hooper can be guys that are going to get targeted, especially in the red zone. And if you're going to give me a price tag right around plus 240 or better on Hunter Henry, it's a bet I'm willing to make in this particular spot. Now, on the flip side for the Seattle Seahawks, look, J-Lo, I've been shopping around for a no price on Kenneth Walker, and I know it's not widely available at every shop. That's a bet that at right around that plus 150, plus 160 range, I think is worth making. But because you tell me I'm a negative Nancy all the time and we want to end on a little bit of positivity, I'll see if George Halani can be the recipient of a touchdown for Seattle, either as a runner getting a touch inside the 10-yard line or maybe as a pass catcher where I think his skill set can get leaned into. So let's look at George Halani at a price of 5-1. Do shop around as always. There are some better numbers with our friends at Bet365 as well. But George Halani to vulture a touchdown away from Kenneth Walker, who I'm more inclined to bet a no price on.
All right, I like that because I do have his over on receptions, and I went over on yardage for Hunter Henry as well too. But it would only be fitting that I have a touchdown pick for a tight end if you followed the podcast. And it would only be fitting that a son of San Francisco, a former Stanford star, find the end zone here in Santa Clara. And it would only be fitting if that guy had scored a touchdown as a rookie, as a member of the Atlanta Falcons in Super Bowl 51, and now get a second shot at a Lombardi as a member of the very same team that took away his big game glory. Of course, I'm talking about Austin Hooper going plus 750. You mentioned the tight ends here, and Austin Hooper is a guy who's been used a little bit lighter recently, but could definitely sneak in there, and we all know the Patriots love to use those two tight end sets. As far as Seattle goes, I'm doubling up on Shaheed. I took his over on receiving yards. I took his over on longest reception. I like him to score a touchdown in this one, plus 375. Hell, Todd, this could happen all in one, just one fell swoop. Big play down the field and a home run. I talked him up last week about his difference in man versus zone and how he's basically played only zone coverage since he arrived in Seattle. The last time he took on a foe that plays as much man-to-man, as much one-on-one as the Patriots, it was against the New York Giants. He was with the Saints. He had an 87-yard touchdown dinger in that one. So I like Raheed Shaheed. Plus 375. Like I said, we could get over on long, over on yards, and a TD all in one pass. Shaheed for the Seahawks. All right, final two-minute drill of the season. Odds provided by Bet365. I'm going to start us off here. We're going to go Drake May, longest run, over 13 and a half yards, minus 115. May's legs have carried the Patriots to the Super Bowl. It won't stop in Santa Clara. Maybe he doesn't get over his total, but I do see him breaking off a big one against the Seahawks, who haven't faced a QB this mobile since taking on Jaden Daniels in Week 9, and they have given up some big gains to QBs in the past. So Drake May, longest run, over 13 and a half.
J-Lo, I like that path actually a lot better than going over his total rushing yards for the game, which is bet up into the mid-30s. And look, people think we're going to pick a lot of props and find some unique angles. I'm going to take the low-hanging fruit here, or at least one of the more efficient numbers, and take the Patriots plus the 4.5. Look, my numbers here suggest that the price should be shorter. I think this Patriots defense has been disrespected, and we've seen underdogs have a lot more bite. I have questions about the Seahawks' resume down the stretch, and I think New England hangs around with a chance to win the game late. Give me New England at plus 4.5 or better.
All right. Don't undervalue 4, right? I'm going to go Patriots kickers in the Super Bowl, right? So I'm going to go Patriots over 1.5 field goals. It's plus 115. Borgalis has attempted more field goals here in the second half. He's had 7 of his past 10 games. He's kicked at least 2. He finally gets to kick in nice warm weather where the ball tends to travel a little easier after going 1-for-3 in that snowstorm against Denver. And the Seahawks extremely stingy on third down, extremely stingy in the red zone. The Pats won't pass on points in what could be a pretty low scoring game. So I like them to over 1.5 field goals, plus 115.
No shirts, no shoes, no service, but hopefully a winner for us and Mac Hollins under 2.5 receptions in the game. And I feel comfortable going up into that $1.50, $1.55 range. Mac adds value for this Patriots offense as a blocker. Yes, he had two catches, including the big flea flicker that changed some of the momentum against the Broncos. But against this Seahawks team, it's difficult to hunt the deep ball. I think his physicality comes into play. It aids in the ground game. Mac Hollins under 2.5 receptions, up to $1.50, $1.55.
Whew! And speaking of unders, I think this might be the first time all year we have gone under in terms of the 2-minute drill and actually stuck to four bets in 2 minutes.
Hey, you got to play. You got to play your best ball when it matters
that
most.
Is it.
I mean, you don't want to peak in week 18. You don't want to peak in the conference championships. You want to peak with no time left on the clock to allow your opponent to get a little kick return and provide some heartbreak, J-Lo.
I feel really good about that one. This is going to be a great podcast. And that is it for Super Bowl 60. That is it. This is the final episode of the Sharp 600 for NFL season. I got to give out some big thanks. Big thanks to Chris, our producer, behind the scenes. He stepped into the pod this year, and he took the pod to new levels, especially in terms of presentation. Chris, an excellent job just raising the bar, considering who you have to work with each week here. Todd, a big thank you to you. Personally, I thank you very much. We're two guys who grew up with each other in this business together. Very, very grateful to be able to work with you both as a colleague and as a friend here each week on the podcast. So I appreciate the time that I got to spend with you, and I know our audience has as well, too. So thank you, buddy.
Hey, thanks, J-Lo. It's been great being able to do this with you the last couple of years, and I'd be remiss if I didn't issue some thank yous in my own right. First and foremost, thanks to the Covers team for bringing me into the fold and allowing me to have this opportunity to talk with our listeners, go back and forth, create a little bit of ball-busting banter, and hand out a few winners along the way. Special thanks to Bet365 as well for jumping in to the primary sponsor sheet and giving us such great menu offerings that allow us the opportunity to talk and expound on a number of topics. And for me, J-Lo, spend a lot more time on that website trying to find some of the best value that I possibly can. But most importantly, as always, to the listeners, the viewers, the folks that chime in on social media, the folks that are listening through their favorite podcast platforms, the ones that are jumping into the comments on YouTube. Without all of you guys and girls out there, this podcast wouldn't continue to grow and be what it is. So thank you to all of you. And the final time, I know, J-Lo, you usually do this more than anybody. Please like, share, do everything you can to subscribe to the Covers YouTube channel. Just because we're putting a bow on another season of the Sharp 600 doesn't mean the winning has to stop. The Olympics, the NBA, the NHL, you name it, there are plenty of other ways to make that bankroll grow. And you guys, the guys and girls out there that have tuned in each and every week, are the lifeblood of this show. So thank you to all of you for continuing to interact with us throughout the course of the season.
Well said. Well said. And nice. I don't have to do the ramble and the beg for the likes and subscribes. But good job. Before we go, I do want to mention we do have our Covers Super Bowl party prop sheet that is available for download. You can print off a bunch of those bad boys. You hand them out at your Super Bowl party. Great way to spice it up, bring everyone in, and give them a little bit of that taste of the sports betting. Todd, there are three props on that sheet that can make or break your big games. Of course, it is the length of the national anthem, the coin toss, heads or tails, or the Gatorade color. So give me your rapid-fire picks on those crucial Super Bowl staples.
Length of the anthem, I'm going to take a contrarian approach and look to go over. We've seen that total bet up a touch. Normally, when you have big-time artists, they still go a little bit quicker, but I think we're going to see an elongated edition of the Star Spangled Banner, so I'll go over. I know people love Tails Never Fails, but look, J-Lo, we all know that the head side of the coin is a little bit more heavily weighted, so oftentimes that can end up face down in the grass. Maybe we can lean into the magnetic substation or whatever the hell it is in Santa Clara to get us heads for the first time in a while. I'll take heads, and from a Gatorade color, it's a no-brainer for me. Because if I'm sick and I'm not feeling all that well, or I even want to celebrate, it's always going to be kind of that blue-purple family, a little bit of Glacier Rush, something along those lines. We know the NFL would love nothing more than blue Gatorade being dumped on white Patriots jerseys to kind of celebrate it. So I'll take blue as the color of Gatorade that we will see in the big game on Sunday.
All right. And I will naturally just go against you in all of these. So I will go under on the 120 seconds. Tails never fails.
Of course, as you should. That way one of us can claim we're
aware. Tails never fails. And I'm sure giving it is in Santa Clara, the guy, the referee who flips that coin is going to sprain his thumb and be on the IR for a while. And then I said last week, I'm going with Lime Gatorade. I like the Seahawks. I took the money line in this one to win outright. So Lime Gatorade, goosh, over Mike McDonald. All right, that is it. Thanks again for listening. Thanks again for watching. Thanks again for wagering along with us each and every week. We will be back next September. Until then, best of luck with your Super Bowl bets.